time to get on the G&M Family Market phone line and welcome into the program Tim Britton of the Providence Journal. Tim, are you survived the eclipse okay?
You know, I looked at it through the glasses like any smart person should, right? And I actually didn't realize that you could actually see it with glasses. I was not prepared for it.
Well, it was. It opened a lot of eyes, literally and figuratively. And gosh, you know, even the president couldn't help himself. Apparently, just stared right at it. I sure hope he's okay.
It is. I think not looking at the sun while not wearing these special glasses was the hardest thing I've had to do in 2017.
A challenge for all of us here. Let's talk about the weekend. The Sox taking care of business yet again. And at this point in the season, the name of the game is really as simple as just keep winning series.
Yeah, you know, you look at where they were 10 days ago, that Friday night in the Bronx. They lose a game that they had a three-run lead on against the Yankees. I think their lead fell to 3 or 3.5 that night. And it seemed like New York was taking some of the momentum away. And now the Red Sox won 4 or 5 against the Yankees since then. To really reclaim kind of the hold of that division, they're up 5 with 39 games left, I think. So you feel really good about where you are in the division. You can kind of start looking around to playoff positioning elsewhere, which is, you know, keeping hold of home field advantage if you run into the Indians in the playoffs. Like last year, I think they've got a 2.5 game lead on Cleveland entering the series this week here. And maybe even trying to catch Houston for that top spot. I think they're 4.5 behind the Astros. You know, that was a 10-game difference at the All-Star break. So, they're playing as well as anyone in the American League, playing as well as anyone outside of the Dodgers, who are kind of playing in another stratosphere. And it's been, you know, it's impressive to see that they've done it really without David Price in the rotation, without Dustin Pedroia at second base, but they've had these other guys step up to fill those voids and still play well.
Some good news you tweeted out about an hour or so ago on Drew Pomeranz. It looks like he's ready to go for his start on Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, he said he threw his normal bullpen today. It was, you know, he's gone through kind of little things with his lower back or his hip in the past where it hurts for a little bit that the day of a start or something. He comes out and then he feels fine 5 days later. You know, he left to start early in spring. He left to start early, I think it was in May, and each time he came back and made the next start, no problem. So I think that his view is that this will be like that yet again. It should be full go for him on Wednesday.
If I were a betting man, would you advise me to take the over or the under on David Price actually being back before the regular season comes to an end?
Well, I'd advise you not to be a betting man, first off. I'm not sure what's over, what's under here. I think we'll see Price again before the end of the regular season, but I'm not sure what kind of role it would be in, whether it's him, you know, just trying to get a couple innings in out of the bullpen late. Maybe that's his role going forward into the postseason. You look at, you know, since you've got 4 other capable starters, maybe you're not able to build him up to throw 100 pitches in a game, to go the 6 or 7 innings the way he's used to. So maybe you just build him up to be a reliever for you at the end of the season. You look at what the schedule is like for him. He's missed a month basically now. I think his last start was on July 22nd. And when, you know, that's a month without being off the mound, you kind of generally think it's going to take you another month to get back to being ready to pitch in a major league game. It's the time down kind of doubled. So even if you started today, you'd probably be looking at that last week or so of September. So I think it's going to be tight for him. But, if they try to work him back for a smaller role out of the bullpen, maybe that can expedite the process for him.
We're talking with Tim Britton of the Providence Journal. The Indian series gets underway tonight. Eduardo Rodriguez, Mike Clevenger, the starters tonight. How much of this is just about taking care of business, and how much of this is really previewing a possible divisional series and trying to gauge how you match up with the competition?
Yeah, I mean, this is the likeliest playoff scenario for the Red Sox. I mean, we talked about trying to catch the Astros. They're 4.5 behind. That's similar to the lead they have in the division. So it's tough to catch them still, even with how much ground they've picked up in the last month. So this is, you know, they saw Cleveland last year. They're familiar with them. They saw them earlier this month for 2 different stints at Fenway Park. And now they've seen it again for 4 games here. And I think tonight is an interesting matchup because when you go, if you're going into a division series with these 2 teams, obviously so much the focus will be on the top line starters, you know, on Sale and Kluber, and what a game one matchup that would be. Probably the only 2 guys really in the running for the American League Cy Young at this point. But, you know, the series might very well come down to how guys like Eduardo Rodriguez and Mike Clevenger pitch. Because when you look at what happened to the Red Sox in the playoffs last season, obviously Kluber was excellent against them in game 2 of that series. They were also pretty much shut down by Josh Tomlin in game 3. And even Trevor Bauer did a pretty good job against them in game 1. The bullpen was lights out for Cleveland. That was what won them the series. But the Red Sox weren't able to exploit the lesser starters for Cleveland in a way that they had hoped going into the series. And now you look at this Indians team, which, you know, barring a setback in the next 6 weeks, we'll have Carlos Carrasco, we'll have Danny Salazar in the way they didn't last year, and then Clevinger and Bauer might be kind of that fourth starter for them. And it's how you take advantage of those guys in maybe an important game four or something like that that could determine a series.
Tim, speaking of over and under, you had a really interesting piece a few days ago on the Red Sox height and the fact that they've got more guys under 6 feet tall than any other team in baseball. I thought it was really interesting to hear how the scouts in particular had to maybe overcome some reservations about size.
Yeah, I mean, I can relate a story. The first time I talked to Andrew Benintendi, I was in the clubhouse for the Lowell Spinners. I remember I walked up, you know, this is the clubhouse, there's no names on the back of the jerseys. I'd never seen him in person. So I walked up to someone else who's about 6 feet tall, and I said, "Oh, are you Andrew?" And he kind of chugged his own. "No, he's over there." And I walked over, and I'm 5'9", and I'm looking at Andrew Benintendi right in the eyes, thinking, this is the guy who led all of college baseball with 22 home runs? Like, there's you still don't believe it sometimes when you see these guys in person until you see them swing the bat. And that was something Eddie Bain, one of the Red Sox scouts, said. You know, the first time he went to see Benintendi at Arkansas, looking at him walking up in the cage to take BP and thinking, man, he's short. And then the first couple swings, he sees him smoking the ball. So it's interesting to me for guys that height. If Benintendi's 5'9", Betts is 5'9", Jackie Bradley's 5'10", Pedroia's maybe 5'8", 5'9". Guys like that have to overcome certain, you know, stereotypes about their size, whether it's the ability to be durable enough to play 162 games or to have legitimate power. We saw Betts at 32 home runs last year. Benintendi's on pace at like 23 or 24 this year. And Bradley hit 26 last year. So those guys have not only been proven themselves to be good major league players, but to be good major league players, maybe ways that even those scouts didn't expect in terms of power and durability.
Tim, they already made the biggest call-up of all by bringing up Rafael Devers. We know what he's done. Who are some guys that you think could maybe see some time and maybe get some crucial at-bats and playing time, if anybody, when the September rolls around and we expand those rosters?
Yeah, I think as we get into September, kind of the some names we've seen already this year, Sam Travis, certainly. Zhuwei Lin and Devin Marrero, kind of some defensive versatility, will probably be up. I think a name a lot of Red Sox fans are wondering about is Bryce Brent, who's a guy who, you know, had been up in the past a couple times and hadn't done a whole lot at the major league level, but has really seemed to find himself this year in AAA. You know, he spent a lot of years at Pawtucket. He's had his best one this year in terms of home run power. I think he's up around 30 home runs for the year. A guy who was taken off the 40-man roster in spring training. They have to put him back on. They have to find room for him somewhere. But with the way that he's hit, especially against left-handed pitchers, you think maybe you find a spot for him in September. You know, the kind of guy who can have a key at bat for you against maybe a pinch hitter in a left hand against a lefty specialist in a game down the stretch. That's a name that I'm interested to see what happens with him in September.
I was looking at some of the stats yesterday, and I guess I sort of inherently knew this, but to see it right in black and white, other than Devers, who hasn't been up that long, the Sox didn't have a single starter in the lineup yesterday hitting .280 or better, just a measure of how good the pitching has been all year, but maybe also a measure of how batting average isn't the most important stat and hasn't been for some time.
Yeah, because I think you look at a guy like Best, it's been a little while since I checked his stats, but I know the last time I checked, maybe a week or two ago, the on-base percentage, even while his batting average was, you know, 15 or 20 points lower than where it was last year, the on-base percentage is pretty much right there where it had been a year ago. So I think you see guys, you know, it changes for guys over time. You kind of start off as a batting average guy, and then maybe as you get more respect for pitchers, even as the batting average falls down, the on-base percentage rises. You see that even with, like, Aaron Judge, even if he's struggling, the on-base percentage is still pretty good for him in the second half of the season. So this is a team that clearly they like the bat-to-ball contact that certain guys lend them. Eduardo Nunez, in particular, he's not a guy who's going to walk a lot. And that gives their lineup a little bit more versatility. But they are a team that's patient, a team that's going to try to do some damage on the bases to whether you like that or not. And a team that's going to move the line. And when they're operating kind of that 1-9 depth, a lot of times when they have their big innings, their big rallies, a walk is sprinkled in there to kind of prolong the inning. That's the way they want to score their run.
Does it seem like we're seeing some positives now that Xander Bogaerts maybe coming out of the little funk he's been in?
Yeah, I mean, the way that he's driven the ball to left field in particular the last week or so has been really encouraging for the Red Sox. You go back to basically the day that he hurt his hand in Tampa. I think it was July 6th right before the All-Star break. From that point forward, it wasn't just that the numbers were down. It was that just the contact was weak on a consistent basis, and the at-bats weren't the quality you're used to seeing from Bogart. So, you know, it started with kind of he had one game where he had like the two sharp singles to left field. Then we saw a home run to left field. We've seen some doubles off the Green Monster in the last homestand. So he's talked about the hand feeling a little bit better. He feels a little bit more normal at the plate. Anytime you go through an injury, there's kind of you go through the initial phase where the injury hurts, and then you go through the phase where you have to overcome the bad habits you started doing because of the injury. Chili Davis says Xander got a little, you know, he was worried about the top hand there, the right hand. He was worried about pop-ups. So he started chopping down at the ball, which led to a lot of weak ground balls, and now he's starting to get back to his usual swing, which is more line drive centric. And hitting the ball with a little bit more authority.
Tim Britton, Providence Journal, talking Red Sox with us this afternoon. Tim, thanks as always, and I'm told, by the way, it'll be okay to stare directly at the moon tonight.
Oh, thank goodness. I always like doing that.
I'm here to help you out anytime. Thanks, Tim. We'll talk with you again soon.
Oh, anytime. Thank you.